Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We are continuing in our series of teaching that we've been doing on building capacity. And we are going to take a text from the book of John, chapter number 8, verse 31 and verse 32. It says that, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him." So I want you to know that he was speaking to believers, people who believed him. Okay? "If you abide in my word," the old King James says, "if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Please underline, "the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. These were precious words of life that Jesus Christ gave to Jews who believed him. Now, I want you to understand that it is not easy for Jews to believe Jesus, because Jews are people who practice Judaism. They are people who believe in the Torah, the first five books of Moses. They are people who were champions of the teachings of Moses. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he came around, some of them believed in him. And so these people are the equivalents of present day believers, because we also believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus told believers, I want you to note that Jesus told people who had gone, taking all the trouble to believe in him. I'm saying all the trouble to believe in him because it was a very troublous thing to believe in Jesus if you are a Jew or you are a practicer of Judaism. Okay? Because the things that Jesus Christ stood for, he stood somewhat against some of the things that the practices of Judaism believed in. So Jesus is addressing a critical group of people who had taken a lot of trouble, put down their traditions, put down their religion, so to speak, to believe in him. And he says to them that if you continue in my word, or if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This word that Jesus Christ spoke about, my word, it is what we can refer to as the kingdom word. Because Jesus himself came as the word of God from the kingdom above, and he presented to us very unique words. In his very first public sermon, he made his position very clear from the very onset, when he juxtaposed or compared, as it were, what Moses had said to what he was saying. So he said about six or so times in the book of Matthew chapter 5, that you have heard it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, you have heard it said that you shall love your friends, hate your enemies. But I say unto you, you have heard it said that you can divorce your wife for any reason. But I say unto you. In other words, the words that Jesus Christ came with, some of it was not the way that the Jewish people really had been taught or they had believed for generation upon generation. So when these believers, Jewish believers, believed in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ told them that they should continue in his word. They should continue in the kingdom word. They should continue in the words that seems to be against the words of their religion, Judaism. Hallelujah. Says that if you continue in the kingdom word, what is going to happen is that you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So look at it. These people were believers, but they were not free. What was going to free them was continuing in the kingdom word, or the special words that Jesus Christ had come with. Hallelujah. If these words of Jesus were the same as the words of Moses, he needn't have said, if you continue in my word. He should have said, if you continue in the law of Moses, or if you continue in your religion, you will be free. But Jesus didn't say that. It means that his words that he was talking about were somewhat not the same as the words that their religion taught them, that they were used to. Hallelujah. So that is what I want you to note. I want you to understand that you can be a believer but not be free. What is going to free you is what? The kingdom word. That is why the Bible said, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, that God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, from Satan's kingdom, and he has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 1:13. God has delivered us, underline delivered us, from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So if you are a believer, you have been delivered already. He delivered you from the devil and from his kingdom, and he translated you to the kingdom of his Son. But if you put the words of Jesus Christ into Colossians 1:13, you will understand that although you can believe in Jesus and be delivered, you can be bound in a certain way and not be free. So there is a difference between being delivered and being free. When you are delivered, you are born again, right? That is where he translates you to the kingdom of his Son. So you are in the kingdom of God, but you can be bound. In other words, it's possible for you not to be free, although you are in the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus. I want us to note some two or three differences between being delivered and being free, and then we would move on. I want you to understand that deliverance goes with miraculous provisions being available to you. Deliverance goes with miraculous provisions being made available to you. But freedom goes with work and responsibility. Freedom goes with work and responsibility. That is one difference between deliverance and freedom. When you are delivered, you are miraculously provided for, just as God did to the Jewish people, or as you say, the people of Israel who moved out of Egypt. They were delivered from Egypt, from Pharaoh. Okay? And because of that, God gave them manna all the time. He gave them protein, gave them quails, gave them water. He gave them miracles. Their feet didn't swell. Their shoes was growing with them, you know, for about 38 years that they were really wandering in the wilderness. 2 years they did well, and after 2 years, when they reached Kadesh Barnea, for 38 years they just went in circles in the wilderness, making a total of 40 years. But those were years of miracles. They were years that they could see the presence of God in a pillar of cloud during the day, and the presence of God in a pillar of cloud fire during the night. There wasn't anybody who was sick among them. God just showered his providence. His provisions were made available to them. But they were not free. Were they free? No. They were delivered from Egypt, but they were not free from Egypt. Okay? So their freedom came when they entered into the promised land. And the promised land was a place, as you know, of work and responsibility. Why do I say that? Because as soon as they stepped into the promised land, all the miraculous provision stopped. all the manna stopped. Now God expected them to take responsibility for the land that he had given unto them. He expected them to work the land. He expected them to toil in order for them to enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. So, whereas deliverance goes with miraculous provision, like you are delivered from the bondage of Satan, it's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle, you know, that we get by the blood of Jesus, who took away all our sins and got us born again, giving us or making us the righteousness of God. That's a miracle. It's a big time miracle for a sinner to be made the righteousness of God. Not have the righteousness of God, but made the righteousness of God. Just as Jesus was made sin, not just carry sins, but made sin. It's a very big deal. It's a miraculous provision. We didn't have any hand in it. God freely poured it upon us. You are my righteousness. All your sins, past, present, future, gone. My son has taken it all. But you have to be free, although you are delivered. Hallelujah. So God takes responsibility for your success and prosperity when you are in the wilderness. But once you enter the promised land, you take responsibility for your own success. Joshua 1:8, God made it clear to them that you have to observe, meditate in my word, so that you will make your way prosperous. No more am I going to miraculously do it. Now, my son Jesus has delivered you and empowered you so that you yourself, you can do it. You can do it. We have been enabled. Jesus didn't come to change our societies for us. He came to change us. He came to enable us. He came to give us strength. Romans says that when we were without strength, Jesus came and died for us. Because by his death, he gives us power. He gives us enablement. He gives us the ability to do certain things that we could not do when we were unbelievers. That is why we need to build our capacity to be able to assess more of God, more of his blessings. And in fact, the reason is to bring his kingdom down on earth as it is in heaven. That is why he takes you into his kingdom, so that you know how it is, so you can replicate it practically yourself by the enablement that he gives you. So right now, Joshua 1:8, he tells Joshua, Joshua is the one who actually took them into the promised land. Moses could not. Joshua took them into the promised land. Joshua is from the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitfulness. It was Joshua, without miraculous provisions as Moses gave them, it was Joshua who took them into the promised land that we call the kingdom system of rest now under Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God told Joshua that it is when he takes his word, his kingdom word, he takes the words of Jesus. Joshua means Jesus. It is a Hebrew version of the Greek name Jesus. So, he says, it is when you take my kingdom word, you abide in it, you continue in it, that you experience the promised land of freedom, or you experience kingdom rest. And he told Joshua, it is when you take the word that you yourself will make your way prosperous in the promised land. Otherwise, you know what is going to happen? You can be in the promised land. You can be in the kingdom of God. You can be born again, but not have prosperity, but rather have poverty. By prosperity, I'm not just talking about finances. It includes it. It's a very important part of it. Actually, the Bible uses finances to signify or stand for all types of prosperity. So it includes finances, but it goes beyond that. It includes the ability to be able to bring out all the potential which is inside of you, make it real in your practical life, in every aspect of your life. That's prospering as a human being. All the things which have been deposited inside of you, you are able to harness it, bring it out. And it shows in your marriage, it shows in your finance, it shows in your career, it shows in every aspect of your academic life, everything that God has blessed you with, potentially, you bring it out practically. Hallelujah. So, the challenge for people who are believers, just as Jesus challenged those Jews who believed in him, is for us to continue in his works. And he categorically made it clear that it is my word, not the word of Moses. Not an eye for an eye, but what I came as the word from the kingdom of God said to you. If you continue in that one, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and then the truth is going to bring freedom, which is the hallmark of his kingdom.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. The second difference between deliverance and freedom I want to teach you is that deliverance makes you enter the kingdom of God, but freedom makes you practically reign as kings in this life by Jesus. Deliverance makes you enter the kingdom of God. That is what makes you a believer. But freedom makes you a ruler. So it's possible, ladies and gentlemen, to be a believer, enter the kingdom of God, but not be a ruler. But it is those, the Bible says, Romans 5, 17, I taught you last week, those who build capacity, they are going to rule. They are going to rule. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Now, the other thing is that, that's the third thing I want to share with you about deliverance and freedom difference, is that deliverance mainly comes through preaching, and freedom mainly comes through teaching. Deliverance mainly comes through preaching. That is, by the proclamation of Jesus that you get born again and you are delivered. But freedom mainly comes through teaching, not preaching. Mainly comes through teaching. You know, preaching is generally meant to pound on demonic obstacles and installations and break them down. But teaching is generally meant to build your capacity. All right? So note that one. The other thing I want you to note about the difference between deliverance and freedom is that deliverance is usually exciting and spectacular. It is like a mighty rushing wind. Deliverance is exciting, it's spectacular. It appeals to the fallen religious person. Religious people like signs and wonders more. That's it. The Pharisees and the scribes, they like signs and wonders more than any other thing, more than the word. As for the word, they won't take it. Just show us a sign. Let's do some miracles over here. It's a hallmark of religion. Hallelujah. But listen, once you enter the kingdom of God, so deliverance is like a mighty rushing wind. It's spectacular. But freedom is non-spectacular and it's like a gentle breeze. Freedom is like a gentle breeze. It's not like a mighty rushing wind. It's like a gentle breeze. The unfortunate thing about most believers is that once they taste deliverance, once they taste the spectacular, they want to stay there. It's like the wilderness. Once they saw God's presence by day, by night, miraculous health, healthy living. I said, nobody is sick in the church. They said, this is the promised land. Hey, nobody is sick in the church. All our needs are met. This is the promise. But that is not the promised land. The promised land is a place of rulership. A place where you take responsibility for other places outside, like the land of Canaan. A place where you rule in the world. That's why God gathers us here and shows us his presence. Not for us to stay here, but to go out there and impact our world. Kingdomize it. Hallelujah. But you see, you can, because of the first thing that you take, the spectacular, you will want to stay in the wilderness of provision. Miraculous one. You want to stay with the mighty rushing wind. But after the mighty rushing wind, you don't need any mighty rushing wind again. What you need is what? Gentle breeze of Jesus. Wow. Teaching is like a gentle breeze. Especially teaching the kingdom word. It's a gentle breeze that settles on you. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, believers like deliverance services more than teaching services. And believers exalt miraculous workers more than people who teach them doctrine. But that should be the opposite. The book of Timothy says that those who teach you the word and the doctrine should be given double honor. You understand that? It doesn't mean that you don't honor other people, but the person who is bringing you the gentle breeze of the kingdom word says that double honor the person. Hallelujah. That should make us to know where God's emphasis is for his church. He wants us to love teaching freedom services more than deliverance services. Hallelujah. Because many of the things that believers we know practically go, they say you should be delivered and all that. No. The solution is not delivered. When they are delivered, they will be bound again. The solution is a freedom service that teaches you who you are and makes you so strong that you can hold on to the freedom by which Christ has made us free and not allow yourself to be entangled or to be bound again. Because you can be delivered and bound, delivered and bound, delivered and bound, delivered and bound. Why? Because you are holding on to a religious understanding. That's the problem of the church in Galatia. So Galatians 5:1, Paul says that, hold on to it. Hold on to the kingdom word by which you are made free. Hallelujah. So the people of Israel, they had to build capacity so that although they are believers, although they were the people of God in Egypt, although some people believed in Jesus, they had to build various capacity to be able to do what? Assess the kingdom of God practically. Or I should say, in order for them to bring about God's kingdom practically in this secular world. So they had to build three types of capacity. The people of Israel who were free from Egypt had to build three capacities. Number one, they had to build a kingdom capacity. They were, because they were in a religious world of Egypt as slaves. So they had to build kingdom capacity for them to go to the place where they are going to rule as kings. Number two, they had to build management capacity because they were subordinates. They were in the lower class. They were not in the managerial class. They were recruits in Egypt, doing the labor work, doing the donkey job, nothing to manage. So they had to build management capacity so that they can now be able to take over where God has given to them. Number three, they had to build mental capacity because their work in Egypt was mainly physical labor, not mental labor. They were doing the donkey jobs, what we will call the donkey jobs now. But they had to build a mental capacity so that they can be able to do mental work and not just physical work. Now, these things that they had to build is the same thing we have to build as people who have been delivered, as people who believe in Jesus. We have to build the same kind of capacity in order for us to assess that blessing God has got for us. Hallelujah. Now, the people of Israel who were slaves, they had to build some three kingdom capacity. Because the opposite of a slave is a king. So if you have been a slave and now you have been ushered into rulership, you have to build the capacity, put aside all the mentality of slave, all the attitude of slave. Now build a different capacity altogether by the kingdom word. Alright, so I want you to understand this characteristic of a slave. When you see it in your life, it means that although you have been delivered, you are not yet free. When you see it in the life of people, it means that although they may be born again, they are not ready for rulership yet because they haven't built the capacity for it. Number one, a slave works but with no sense of responsibility. That is what we considered last week. Now, what I want us to look at is that the spirit of a slave loves to be driven. The spirit of a slave loves to be driven, shouted at, and told what to do. That's a slave. Typical. You have a master over you. So the master must tell you something before you get to action. So the spirit of a slave loves to be driven. He has no self-motivation. Anybody who has no self-motivation, although can be a believer, still has the spirit of a slave. And you need to build capacity of rulership then. So there is no self-motivation in a slave. There is no inner drive in a slave. People have to wind the slave all the time. People have to motivate the slave all the time. If we are a bunch of people who are not self-motivated, who have to be micromanaged, then although we are born again, we cannot bring God's kingdom in the world. We cannot be rulers. At best, we can wander in the wilderness of miracles, but we cannot really be of any strong consequence in bringing God's kingdom to our workplaces, to our societies, to Africa, if we do not have self-motivation. We do not have inner drive, because the world system is meant to suppress you, quell your spirit, break your spirit. But you must be a self-motivated person with inner drive. Hallelujah. That is a capacity you need to build. You need to build the capacity to blaze the trail. Blaze the trail means that you start something which has never been started before. Hallelujah. The spirit of a slave doesn't start anything new. Wow. Because he has no drive unless master says, do it. Master shouts as a slave. If you see anybody who waits for a blasting and then he is working, and 1 month after the blast, he has stopped. The issue is not a continuous blasting. That's not God's way. The issue is that the person needs to build a certain capacity where, whether the leader, the pastor sees him or not, whether the president sees him or not, whether your boss, your supervisor sees you or not, yet still you have an inner drive that makes you do the right things, that makes you even start things which have not been started in the church. That makes you start things which have not been started in the society. The slave spirit of a slave is a copycat spirit. A slave will always want somebody to do it, and then the master will say, have you seen it? Do it exactly the way that you cannot think. Just do what I say. That's the spirit of a slave. But God wants us to be originals. Can we say originals? It doesn't mean that it's wrong to copy, but it is wrong to copy all the time. without anything original from you, then, although you are born again, you cannot bring God's kingdom the way it must come in your workplace, in your family, on this continent of Africa, in our society, because you lack originality. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Everybody, before God releases you, he gives you something to come into the world with. Hallelujah. Wow. And so you didn't come here empty. We have to be original in our thinking. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are varieties of wisdom in God. He is not just skewed to one type of wisdom all the time. No! The Bible says our mandate as the church of God, as the people of God, whom Jesus has been made our wisdom, our mandate is that now unto the principalities, secular and spiritual, and powers might be made known by the church, the many-sided wisdom of God. Wisdom is talking about ability to translate something into practical reality. Hallelujah. And there is no one plug. God is not a one plug person. God is not a one way person. Hallelujah. God has got varieties of wisdom. And he wants us that we will come out with his wisdom and let our rulers and let our principalities and let our leaders see the display of his varied wisdom. This way of doing it, another way of doing it, the other way of doing it, the other way of doing it. Beautiful. Variety. He is a God of variety. That is why he created many of us. And we are all different. You look at the face, you see that there is a difference. Although we all have nose, two eyes, a mouth, and two ears, and one bold face, yet the faces are different. Hallelujah. Even with Siamese twins, the faces are different. It shows us the nature of our God. It shows us the character of our God. So I beg your pardon. God is not just doing this one. He is not just using this method. He wants us to seek his wisdom.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.